Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You are Locked On Thunder, your daily podcast on the Oklahoma City Thunder. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Welcome back to the Locked On Thunder Podcast. I'm Carson Cunningham. You can find me on Twitter at KOCO Carson. That's where I spout off most of my Thunder opinions. And I had a few on tonight's scrimmage. Thunder lose 104-97 to the Houston Rockets up in Tulsa. Tulsa fans get the first glimpse of Carmelo and Paul George in a Thunder uniform. It's still surreal to see, but we'll get into those two guys, as well as Kyle Singler. Yes, he did play tonight. I have thoughts on him as well. But first, please rate and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and Audio Boom. That really helps us out. I would really appreciate that. And again, if you'd like to sponsor the podcast, shoot me an email, carsonlockedon@gmail.com. We have a lot of listeners, a lot of people ready for Thunder basketball. So give me an email and I'll get with you on how to sponsor the podcast. But yeah, let's get right into it. First and foremost, Carmelo any good? Is he going to look any good in a Thunder uniform? I think so. 19 points in 19 minutes, just showing off his elite level of scoring in true Carmelo fashion. He's going to be so elite in catch and shoots in this offense once they get Russell Westbrook back. Russell did not play. But man, Carmelo is just as polished of a scorer as you can find in the NBA. And I think he survives well enough on defense to where all the lineups with Melo and Paul George and Russell Westbrook are going to be just devastating. It's going to be astonishing to watch Russell play alongside Paul George and Carmelo, just the space he's going to have. Think about this. Last year, teams could just suffocate Russell because no one else on the floor could literally put the round sphere we call a basketball into the round cylinder we know as a hoop. It was literally almost physically impossible for some of the teammates Russell had to put the ball in the basket. That's not going to be the case this year. And man, I'm looking forward to seeing Russell play alongside Paul George and Carmelo, because Carmelo is an elite scorer. Showed that off tonight. 19 points, 19 minutes. He delivered everything you want to see and more. And again, Russell didn't play. He had the PRP injection in his knee, which now you can't say it's nothing, right? I mean, he's sitting out preseason games. It's not. I don't think it's something as far as something fans should be worried about. But it's not nothing either. I mean, he's not playing in preseason games. He's having injections into his knee. Anytime you're doing that, it's not like everything's hunky-dory. It's not everything's like all perfectly fine and sunshine and rainbows. That's something to monitor as well. I mean, Russell's had, you know, he had the torn meniscus back in 2013. So that's something to monitor. I'm not worried about it, but it's not nothing either. Man, I'm so eager to see what the floor spacing is going to look like once Russell does get on the floor and plays with Paul George and Carmelo. Just picture this, like a pick and roll with Russell and Paul George with Melo over in the corner and Steven Adams roaming around doing Steven Adams things. Like, that's going to be insanely hard to guard. It's going to be a nightmare for the Western Conference and the rest of the NBA. And I can't wait to see all three together, but Russell did sit out tonight. Paul George got to a slow start, finished 6 of 13 with 15 points. You saw some flashes from him where he's a superstar. I mean, that's not new, but it is interesting. You know, people don't talk enough about his defense for me. I mean, he is obviously a scorer as well. For me, he's as close as you can get to a Kevin Durant at the three position in the NBA. He's as close as you can get as far as just the talent level at the three spot in the NBA with alongside, obviously there's LeBron and there's Kevin and there's everybody else, but Paul George is right there. But people don't talk enough about his defense. I mean, he's one of the premier defenders in the NBA, and I thought he showed some of that tonight in the preseason game. He's just an all-around marvel. And he even talked in practice this week about how he wants to be the best two-way player in the world. And I think he's gonna turn some heads this year with just his defense as well as his offense. But there are times this season where the Thunder are going to rely on him, and him and Andre Robertson together will be a tough crunch time defensive lineup. And then obviously Paul George is one of the few players who can play that well on defense and then turn it around and go the other way and play significant offense. But I thought he looked good after a slow start. Raymond Felton is a competent backup point guard at the NBA level, which is something the Thunder have not had in what feels like ages. They haven't had a competent backup point guard since they traded Reggie Jackson and his attitude to the Detroit Pistons. You know, it was no secret Reggie was a bit of a cancer in the locker room in Thunder. He wanted to play more, wanted to start, wanted the money. He got the money in Detroit, and they've already tried to trade the guy. That's how well he's doing up there, is Detroit's already sick of the guy, and they want to trade him for just whatever they can get. And they haven't been able to, the Thunder really haven't had a competent backup point guard since. They've tried out there Randy Foy in the playoffs. They had Samaj Kristen playing the backup, him and Cameron Payne. And Cameron Payne has spent time in the D-League last year. They just have not had a solid backup point guard position since Reggie Jackson left. And I think that's what everything and more Raymond Felton's going to bring. He's just a veteran presence at the point spot. He started tonight in place of Russell, had 9 points, 3 assists, was a plus 9. I thought he looked great as far as what you're asking him to do. He's not Reggie Jackson at his peak. He's definitely not Russell Westbrook. But what he is a competent backup point guard who can run the offense with the second unit. And I think he's a really underrated addition. You know, we've talked so much about, obviously, the two superstars, and rightfully so. Patrick Patterson's going to be great coming off the bench. Super contract for him. No one's really talked about Raymond Felton. And I think he's going to add a lot. I think he's going to be a very valuable player for this team coming off the bench. Now, again, I don't want to sound like I'm, you know, ready to put Raymond Felton as a reserve in the All-Star game. Believe me, I'm not saying that. Compared to what the Thunder have had at the backup point guard, he looks like night and day from what they've had at that spot. So he was very encouraging. I think he's been overlooked a little bit as far as what he can bring to the Thunder. And I thought he looked pretty good in the first preseason game up in Tulsa. Another guy who looked good, Terrence Ferguson, who's actually from Tulsa. He was born there. He moved away in middle school down to Texas. You know, obviously played professionally instead of going to college in Australia. You know, Brian Keating, my colleague at KOCO-TV in Oklahoma City, he was at the scrimmage at Edmund North High School on Sunday. And the first thing he said, it wasn't about Melo or Paul George. He was like, Terrence Ferguson's good. And I was like, oh, interesting. I hadn't even given him any thought at all since they drafted him, really. He was a bit of a disappointing draft pick. I was at a draft party with the Down to Dunk guys, and the crowd reception was not great for Terrence Ferguson. But I can see why Brian was impressed. This guy is impressive. He looks like he has the look of a valuable NBA asset in this day and age. He's long. He's athletic. He's rangy. You know, he had a behind-the-back pass alley-oop to Paul George in the scrimmage at Edmund North High School. And tonight against the Rockets, he looked competent. He looked good. I mean, his stat line's not going to just, you know, overwhelm you, but he looked like he might earn some minutes off the bench. And let's be honest, there's some minutes to be had. It's going to be interesting to see what Billy Donovan does off the bench. And obviously, you have Patrick Patterson off the bench. Alex Abrines sat this game out as well with a knee injury. Jeremy Grant's going to play. Who knows if Nick Collison's going to play? He doesn't get played very much anymore nowadays. I'll get to Kyle Singler in a second, but I think Terrence Ferguson's going to play early in this season. How much? I don't think he's going to play anything close to 20 minutes, but he showed me some value. He showed me a guy who could come off the bench and give you a little something, and I think he's going to play. And he looks good for a rookie so far, and that's something I did not expect coming into this season. And obviously, it's just a preseason game, all the prefaces with that, but I liked what I saw out of him. And Andre Robertson, he gets the start. Launches his first three-pointer of the season and an air ball. Nowhere near the rim. Chris Paul was supposed to close out on him. Just kind of waved his hand at him like, go ahead, big boy. Go ahead. Go ahead and launch. And when Avery airballed it, Chris Paul goes, hell nah. Like Chris Paul knew exactly what Andre Robertson brings to the three-point line. And I know Andre's probably worked hard at that this offseason. I hope he's worked hard on his free throws. But if you were sitting there saying, well, you know, now they got Carmelo and Paul George and, you know, Russell's going to be out there. He's going to be wide open. You know, he's got to shoot it. I mean, yeah, I guess if he catches it and he's wide open from three, he has to shoot it, but the results are not going to be pretty. He's one of the worst three-point shooters in the league, and that was not encouraging at all. But, again, Andre is going to bring you other things as far as rebounding, running the baseline. I want to see Billy use him like he did in the playoffs 2 years ago when they still had Kevin, where he was a much more dangerous cutter. Even did some of that against the Rockets, and he actually shot pretty well from three against the Rockets, but that left a lot to be desired from the three-point line from Andre. But who else? Steven Adams had a back injury. He says it's nothing. Says he'll get over it in a few days, but I'd be surprised if we see Steven in the next preseason game on Friday against the Pelicans in Oklahoma City. He's dealt with some back injuries in his career, which is concerning for a guy who's 7 feet tall. Anytime you start messing with the back, that's worrisome for a guy who's his size. Back injuries are, you know, they can be lingering. So I don't think we'll see him next preseason game, if not the rest of the preseason. I'd probably set him out just as a precaution. Because let's be honest, these preseason games don't mean a whole lot. Daniel Hamilton off the bench. You know, he played in the D-League last year, was a draft pick for the Thunder out of UConn. I thought he had a few good defensive closeouts. Kind of raised my eyebrows a few times with some plays. Stat line, nothing to write home about. I think he was like 3 of 11. Yeah, 3 of 11 from the field. Not great, but I thought he looked pretty good on defense and did okay off the bench. But I would imagine he'd probably spend some time in the D-League. But he is an interesting option in case, you know, people get hurt and whatnot. But I have to mention, now's the time. Oh, Kyle Singler. You know, when he came to Oklahoma City, he was a competent, borderline valuable NBA basketball player. In Detroit, he shot 40% from three, was very adequate on defense, looked like the type of guy you'd want to have in the NBA. And ever since coming to Oklahoma City, he has been probably the worst player in the entire NBA. And that's not a gross exaggeration. That's not an overstatement. I don't know what happened to the guy. I don't know if, you know, the Thunder used to practice next to an old dog food plant. I don't know if the dog food fumes, like, got to him, consumed his brain. I don't know what happened to Kyle Singler, but he was awful tonight. As well as he's been awful his entire Thunder career. He was 0 for 4, didn't make a shot, was 0 for 3, and his one three-point attempt barely hit rim. It looked like Andre Robertson's. It was nowhere near the basket. He can't even hit free throws. He was 2 of 4 from the free throw line. This is a dude who went to Duke. You would think he would be like a 90% free throw shooter. Nope, 2 of 4. Can't even make a free throw. And I'm sorry. If Kyle Singler plays over Josh Eustis, whom the Thunder spent a first-round draft pick on, he took less money to go to the D-League. He was the first ever domestic draft and stash. And Josh Eustis plays like two or three games a year each of the past 2 years. He's shown more in those two or three games than Kyle Singler has shown his entire Thunder career. And Billy still looks over on the bench and says, "Hey, Kyle, get in there. Josh, you stay put." Even though Josh Eustis has shown to be a better shooter, a better defender, a overall better basketball player. This is maddening to me. I don't get it. The entire city doesn't get it. Singler's getting boos now when he checks in the game in Oklahoma City. That's how bad it's gotten. And again, I don't mean to beat up on the guy, but let's be honest. This is professional basketball. The guy's getting paid $5 million a year. And Sam Presti has won the offseason. He got Carmelo. He got Paul George. He got Russell to sign through his prime. There are no bad words to be said about Sam Presti. But by far, one of his worst moves of his entire tenure has been a 5-year contract for Kyle Singler. After, it'd be one thing if he gave him a 5-year deal, like before this downturn. This was after his first season in Oklahoma City when he looked lost. He looked terrible. And he still gave him a 5-year guaranteed deal. They had the option to stretch his contract just to get rid of him, and they didn't do it. I would have stretched his contract, send him out the door, let him try to revitalize his career elsewhere, and just pay him $1 million a year for the next however many years to get rid of his contract, because he is bad. He is maybe the worst player in the NBA. And this is a preseason game against the Rockets' backups. and he still looked out of place. So he has no place playing on this team. He has no place playing for the Thunder in any meaningful minutes this year. If Billy Donovan does that over Josh Huestis, I will rip him for it, because it will make no sense whatsoever. And again, I'm sure Kyle Singler's a great guy, but he has no business playing on this team. And I thought he further illustrated that in the first preseason of the game in Tulsa against Rockets backups. Isaiah Cannon, that's my Kyle Singler soapbox. If he plays this regular season, half the podcast might be why is Kyle Singler playing. But I apologize if I went too long on that. But anyway, Isaiah Cannon, 28 minutes. Interesting option as the third point guard. 3 of 7 from the field, 2 of 4 from three. He can shoot it. 6 assists, 11 points. Just another option for Billy off the bench as far as what he's going to do, I don't know. But Isaiah Cannon's an interesting option at point guard. I already mentioned Raymond Felton. I think he should be the backup, veteran presence. But Isaiah Cannon is playing well. I liked what I saw out of him. Jeremy Grant played 31 minutes, a lot of minutes for him. 10 points, 6 rebounds. You know, did Jeremy Grant things. I think he's going to be a valuable piece off the bench. I think they'll use him a lot in some small ball lineups as well, as far as a 5 or even the 4. But all in all, you know, nothing to be discouraged about. I mean, they lost 104-97. The Rockets did shoot 24 of 55 from 3. That is a huge number. I mean, 43% on 55 threes. I mean, the Thunder, again, this is a preseason game, but when they see the Rockets again in the regular season and even especially in the playoffs, they need to take the Spurs model. I thought the Spurs did a great job against the Rockets in the playoffs last year, where they knew they were shooting threes or layups, so that's all they guarded. They said, Rockets, you want to shoot mid-range? Have at it. And it just totally befuddled the Rockets. That's what the Thunder need to do moving forward when they face the Rockets, because they're going to be awesome on offense. I thought Chris Paul looked amazing. James Harden looked great as always. Their offense is going to be sensational. It is interesting. I do love when they gang up on Ryan Anderson, the Thunder do. You know, last year, Taj Gibson was posting up on Ryan Anderson like he was Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. And they had Steven Adams kind of bully him down on the block too. It's always fun. They like pick on Ryan Anderson like the bully on the playground. When I see him on the floor, they just go right at him. That's always interesting. But Ryan Anderson did hit 3 of 7 threes and had 10 points. But look for that to happen again when they play the Rockets, them to just bully him. But all in all, they lose. They face the Pelicans on Friday night in Oklahoma City, first preseason game in OKC. And one last thing before we go. The All-Star Game's changing their way of doing it. They're going to have the top two vote-getters pick teams. And how amazing would it be if Kevin Durant's a captain and Russell Westbrook's a captain? First, that would be the ideal scenario, right? But what if it's Kevin Durant and LeBron? And, you know, LeBron takes, I don't know, who would he take first overall? Would he take? He might just take Russ. But what if it's Kevin's pick first overall and Russ is standing right there? Does Kevin pick Russell? And does Russell just say, nah, bruh, I'm good. I'm going to go play with LeBron. You can have Steph. Yeah, that's what Kevin has to pick Steph, right? If Steph's not the other captain. So Kevin picks Steph. Russell rejoices. And LeBron says, okay, Russ, let's go to war. That will be amazing. I can't wait. I'm there for all of that. And it will be kind of awkward, whoever's picked last. Like, poor Gordon Hayward's going to be standing there, or, you know, someone of that nature. Just, all right, you're the last pick. I guess we'll take you. That was always bad on the playground when you were the last kid picked. I always felt bad for that kid. That wasn't good. But that's going to be fun to watch in the All-Star game, because the East is so bad. They had to, like, switch it up, I guess. But I'm more of a traditionalist. I still like the East versus West, because the All-Star game, really, after the first 2 minutes, it's just a matter of who's going to score the most points to win an MVP. That's the only suspense. But I'm here for all of the Kevin versus Russell on the playground analogies as far as picking teams. I can't wait for that. So once again, Thunder lose 104-97 to the Rockets' first preseason game in Tulsa. They're back at it Friday in Oklahoma City against the Pelicans. You have been listening to Locked on Thunder. I am Carson Cunningham. Again, you can follow me at KOCO Carson. Send me an email if you'd like to sponsor the podcast, Carson Locked On thunderbasketball@gmail.com. And I would be remiss. It's been a sad week. You know, my thoughts and feelings and my heart really goes out to the victims in Las Vegas. It's a city I've been to many times. I've had so many good times out in Las Vegas. One of my favorite cities in the world. And just a horrific, horrific event. My thoughts and prayers are with the people out there in Las Vegas. And, of course, Tom Petty. Rest in peace. 66 is too young to go away. And, you know, Tom Petty was kind of, you know, he's a soundtrack for most people's lives. He had so many hits. But as a kid growing up in the 90s, you know, I grew up on MTV. And the only way I discovered new music was, you know, watching music videos. And Tom Petty had the coolest ones. They were awesome. I loved all of Tom Petty's, you know, Last Dance with Mary Jane, Into the Great Wide Open, Don't Come Around Here No More were awesome and something I grew up on. And man, sad day to lose him as well as the Las Vegas tragedy. So rest in peace, Tom Petty. We'll send him out on the podcast with a special rendition of Into the Great Wide Open. Thanks for listening to Locked On Thunder. I'm Carson Cunningham.